Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Wisdom Walk Talk here on Black Hole Radio and my YouTube channel, Wisdom Walk 2 Self-Mastery. I am your host and guide, Jojopa Maria Enseroma. Now, March is the first of two nature months in this water year that opens a new age for the evolution of humanity with mind-blowing breakthroughs that will burn away that which is now archaic, out of date, expired. My theme this month is New Beginnings. Through three live radio broadcasts and accompanying videos, I will provide wisdom and insights on how the time of COVID, combined with the age of Aquarius, has brought deep revelations of truth, amazing opportunities for reclamation of joy, and conscious rejuvenation. beginning tonight with A New Lifetime. But first, just a reminder that if you're listening to the broadcast live over the phone, you can over the internet, and you have problems with your connection, you can listen to it over the phone at this number, which is 563-999-3089. Also, any questions, comments, you can do that. I'm flashing on the screen right now if you're watching on YouTube, which is my Facebook page and group, Wisdom Walk Radio and Wisdom Walk Supporters, or my website, which is www.wisdomwalktoselfmastery.com. But right now I ask and invite you to sit or lay back and join me for an exploration of the inner landscape where we can connect to our soul and discover and remember the truth of being human. March, wow, it's like the gateway month to the change in the year. It's the change of season month. We're going to come into the vernal equinox. It's a month that leads up to some major holy holidays. And in certain parts of the world, it's also a time when there is daylight savings time. It's a really interesting month. It's also a time of spring. You know, it is in March when we begin to see some of the flowers that let us know, the earth is what your part of the earth is warming up. But it's also a time of fall if you're in the southern hemisphere. So again, March really is this pivotal month of a great change. And so I want to start off, as always, by honoring the ancestors. And March is also Women's History Month. And so it's a wonderful opportunity to be more mindful, considerate, and conscious of women and the women in your life. You know, for many, 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 many decades and centuries, women were considered property of men. And it is taking a long time because we're still moving out of that belief system and into women being, full human beings with the right to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, just like men and anybody else who is here on this planet. And so take time, if you will, and think about the women in your life who are no longer here. They can be blood related or not. But women who you admired or women who made a great contribution to your growth, to your journey, to your evolution. And I'm going to call on them right now, say their names out loud. They really love that. And we're going to honor our female ancestors. Creator, Mother, Father, God, Source, all the one, all that is, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for the blessing of the female ancestors. And so, Creator, I'm calling out to those great emissaries with your love and support, saying, ancestors, 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 those of you who gave birth to all of us, those of you who took on the pains of the world, those of you who provided nurturing, who provided food, who provided the love, the care, the support, the feminine wisdom, we are calling on you because truly we are in a time, in a place in humanity where we need to embrace more of our feminine intelligence and include that and integrate that into our cultures, our institutions, and our beliefs about ourselves. And so we're calling on you. We're asking and thanking you for your love, your guidance, your direction as we, as humans, continue to open up to learn about and embrace all of who we are. So thank you, thank you, thank you, female ancestors. We are so grateful for you and Creator as always. We thank you for the blessing of these ancestors in the name of all that is holy. I say amen. Ashe Aho Asa Shinga Bismillah. So it is. Ashe. Okay, elemental wisdom and astrological insights for the week. We started off this elemental week on Friday, the February 26th, because Friday was the first day of the week for this year. January 1st fell on a Friday. And so that marks the beginning of what I call our elemental week. And here's what's going on for us. It is a water week. Yeah. And here are the opportunities and the distractions. This water week in a nature month in a water year is about becoming peaceful. Get still and meditate and contemplate. Consciously take time for that. Reconcile any negative feelings by acknowledging them, feeling the pain, and cleansing them out by focusing on what is positive in your life. Right now, especially right now. Yes, yes. Get yourself into a nearby flowing water or your shower and allow the purifying energy of the water element to free you from any feelings of anger, resentment, judgment, fear, or anything else that would be disruptive or distracting to the fulfillment of your annual growth commitments. Remember, God is breathing you. Yes, call upon the divine love to free your mind. Distractions, ignoring or sedating your pain, telling yourself that your problems can't wait, attempting to change someone or something that you have no control over, and blaming others for just how you are choosing to feel about yourself, as well as if you're using rage, anger, or judgment to protect yourself from other people's pain, not a good idea, not a good day. So let that go. Yeah. Now, this Friday, coming up on the 12th of March, we will begin a fire week. And it will be time to walk your talk, and I'll remind you about that in the next broadcast. And something interesting to think about is that February and March always have identical dates and days of the week. So, for example, in February, the 12th was a Friday, and it is in March. So it's like these 2 months, I always think of them as like February sets us up. You know, and then in March we get a chance to do it right because you're getting like the second time around to be able to get yourself in balance and flow in truth, I say. Astrologically, and I'm getting this information from primarily Astro Butterfly, who I really like her insights and wisdom, and I will leave a link in the description box below this video, and I'm flashing one on the screen now for those of you who may not get to that. But March 2021, she says, is a relief after two turbulent first months of the year. Ashe. She says, no challenging aspects are going to be happening this month, just harmonious ones, which are trines and conjunctions. I think there is a square, but it's not a challenging one. It's got stuff in it. It's got planets in it that keep it from really taking us out. So this is a month where we get to go after the 2 months of some really hard work. I know I was doing some really hard work in January and February. So the other important thing to know is that all of the planets currently in our solar system are moving forward. They're going direct to our eyes until April the 27th. So that means much forward movement can be experienced personally, professionally, and globally. I'm also going to put in a link to Kyle Thomas, another astrologer I really like, and he does this whole article about the forward movement of planets and what that means to you. Now, as a result, Astro Butterfly goes on to say, of the Sun and Venus and Chiron, in a triple conjunction, and Chiron is one of those comets that acts kind of like a planet, so it gets included in astrology. So the Sun, Venus, and Chiron are forming a triple conjunction, and Astro Butterfly says that the central theme in March then is, are you ready? Healing and freedom from past hurts and burdens. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And me personally, that has definitely been going on. So we've got 2 days of planetary aspects that are important. The first one comes on Thursday, March the 11th, and that's when the Sun conjuncts Neptune in Pisces. Yes. This conjunction is an opportunity to leave behind the old definition of who you are and meet the timeless, infinite self that you really are. So it's a time for authenticity, yes. With the Sun conjunct Neptune, the best advice is to let chaos do its work. I love this. It's in the chaos, in this creative space of infinite possibilities, that eventually a new order, life, world, or universe will emerge. Wonderful. So again, you can see all of this is definitely just lining up for the times that we are in very, very wonderfully. And so then on March the 13th, we have two really beautiful aspects that are going on. The first one is a new moon, and this will be on Saturday. New moon is always about a new beginning, but it is joined with Venus conjunct Neptune in Pisces. Yes, I mean, really, really cool planetary lineups because, you know, Pisces and Neptune are associated. So the new moon, this new moon, because it's conjunct Venus and Neptune, is considered to be a fairy tale moon. Yes, and what a fairy tale really means happy endings, folks, that you've gone through the trouble, you were in the dark woods, but the rescue came, and you got out of it, and you're having a happy ending. So this fairy tale moon, and the Astro Butterfly says, sometimes dreams do become a reality, and when the manifestation power of a new moon meets Venus and Neptune, anything is possible. So throw away your doubt, throw away your disbelief, and open up to having your dream or dreams come true. Now, the Venus conjunct Neptune in Pisces, this is the most romantic transit in astrology. I'll repeat that. This is the most romantic transit in astrology, and it's just a few more years that we are lucky enough to have Neptune sign in the sign of Pisces. So no matter how difficult our lives may be at the moment, Venus conjunct Neptune is a gentle reminder that when we truly connect to our hearts, listen to our hearts, like I talked about last month, we can find beauty and magic everywhere, yes. So good week coming up, folks. Good week. Look forward to this. Now, on March the 22nd, we have Earth Day, as I'm proclaiming that every month. And again, I hope that you're cutting down on your use of plastic and paper, staying mindful of your use of your fossil fuel power car if you don't have an electric one. And again, asking you to go to the website for Earth Day, www.earthday.org. Go on today's action, and you'll find great information that can help you do even one small thing that will contribute to us making this planet habitable for the seven generations who are coming after us. And again, I'll share the link for all of that good stuff in the box below or flash it on the screen. Okay, now going to move into the meat of the program for tonight, which is about a new lifetime. So my overview is I'm going to share what a new lifetime is and what it brings. I'm going to talk about why we need this opportunity as human beings. And then, of course, I'm going to give you a contemplative exercise for opening up to a new lifetime. My quote for tonight comes from Robert Fritz, who wrote a really mind-expanding book for me and many others called The Path of Least Resistance. And Robert says in this chapter where he talks about transcendence, the other life-building principle is transcendence. We can transcend the consequences we have put into motion. Cause and effect are suspended. Past actions do not become manifested in future outcomes. The past, no matter what it has been, is no longer a dynamic that must play itself out. Not only do we recognize the past is over, it is no longer at issue. We are able to recreate our lives a new, yes. So a new lifetime. I am, as many of you that connect with me know, a big fan of Lord of the Rings and the Marvel Universe and any kind of fantasy movie where I can pull from it archetypes and other psychological things to help with healing and growth. And so there's this wonderful, wonderful piece in the book and definitely done well for the film of Lord of the Rings. And it comes up in the second movie of The Two Towers, and it has to do with Gandalf. And it's Gandalf who we meet in the woods, in the old forest, and he's been changed. And he's dressed in this beautiful white robe and introduces himself as Gandalf the White. And before that, he was Gandalf the Gray, which is what they call him. And he stops and he's like, yeah, that's what they used to call me, but I ain't that no more. I'm Gandalf the White now, and I got some business to do, you know. It's just a beautiful, beautiful image of this stepping into a new lifetime. So here are some characteristics. You know you have evolved, transcended who you previously believed yourself to be. Yeah. You don't look or feel or dress the same as you did before. You present yourself as new, and the belief is so solid that no one questions you. I had another new lifetime. I've stepped into one right now. I totally am very conscious of that. But the other significant one that I stepped into was back in 2000, the year 2000, and it's when I got initiated into being a wisdom keeper for the Dagger of Medicine Wheel. And I received my spirit name in a very, very spiritual way. And so when I came back from this initiatory experience, I shared it with my group of friends. And because I so was clear and I knew I had shifted up into something more aligned and real with who I really was, nobody ever questioned me. Nobody said, aren't you Maria? What happened? No, I'm JoJapat, you know. But it was never that. I just said, I'm now JoJapat. It's my name. And they were like, okay. So, and JoJapat. And so, again, when you step into a new lifetime, again, your belief system about it is so powerfully grounded in truth. Nobody questions you. So if you adopt a spirit name or you just out of the blue say, I think I call myself this now, and you haven't been through the process to step into a new lifetime, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. That's why you never, never ask for a new name without knowing that you're asking for some huge transformation to come into your life. Yeah. Yeah, so it's better to wait till transformation happens and then say, okay, can I have a new name? Anyway, another huge characteristic is that you step more deeply into your true, authentic self and your love and appreciation of life. Yes. I had before 2000 definitely been dealing with bouts of depression. It was even chronic depression, which means I could function and, you know, put on a good face. But when I was alone, I was really sad. I was really sad. I wasn't happy. I didn't feel fulfilled. But when I had been doing my work, and so I've been doing my work solidly for a good 3 years, like really on it, really concentrated. My work was what? To heal from the past, to heal from the pain of the past. And so when 2000 came around, I was really ready for this shift. And when I had my shift, I really began to like my life. I became so excited that it was never about I'm depressed. It might be I'm tired. I did too much. But it was never, ever back to what I had previously experienced of being in chronic depression. So really, really powerful. Another characteristic of stepping into a new lifetime is that you're no longer energetically bound. I think this is a really important piece, and this is what it says in the quote I just shared with you. You're no longer energetically bound to the pain and suffering of the past, to the core wound beliefs, to ancestral wounds and trauma. Yeah, really, really powerful. It's like, cut. It's no longer there. Now, does that mean you forget about it? No, you don't forget about it. But it's like it's no longer running your life. You're no longer reliving or recreating what your ancestors went through that was painful and suffering. It's like you dropped it. It's gone. Now, you also have no more resentment, no more guilt, blame, shame about people or situations from your past, because you're liberated from having to live through those former blocks to your joy and your happy endings in life or your fulfillment in life. Yeah. Really, really, really powerful. And then last but not least, the characteristic that I've experienced is that you have clarity and easily attract and get support for living on purpose and living at the next level of your purpose. Yeah. It's just a clarity. In 2000, I had clarity, really, really, really clear. And right now, so I'm moving into that phase of a great clarity for my next level of purpose. So, why do we need new lifetimes? Why do we need to step into this newness? There's three important reasons, I think. The first one is that everyone is given a core wound to heal as part of your sacred contract, okay? We're all given that. So that means that we are supposed to be going on a journey to become something more, because your core wound, and it usually is associated with some form of trauma, it splinters you. Okay, it fractures the truth of who you are. So you may have some pieces of it, but these other pieces you might not be able to access because you're living out of the belief system of the core wound. So my next book is about. So secondly, when you commit to healing, growing, evolving, you need to experience the results of your hard work. Yeah. So that's what stepping into a new lifetime is. Like I said, I had started in 97, and by 2000, it was time for me to get the results of the hard work that I had done. And then thirdly, your ability to be conscious of your growth and development inspires others, which is essential for human evolution. I don't know if you've ever heard of the 100th monkey theory, where monkeys on a certain island were shown how to wash their bananas before they ate them. And on another island, they weren't shown that. But the ones on the island that did it, like first it was one that did it, next day it was five, and soon it was 100 of them that were doing it. And so when they checked on the other island, those monkeys had started to do it too. So it's that energetic power of shifting up, growing up, healing up. And so that's why it's important that we do allow ourselves to step into our new lifetimes and as consciously as we possibly can. So this is my contemplative exercise for you this week to help with that, to grow your consciousness. Right before going to sleep or when you're just waking up, allow yourself 15 minutes every day for a week to envision living happy and fulfilled in your biggest and wildest dream. Yeah, the biggest and the wild. I mean, like, go for broke. Like, not something you think right now how you can figure it out. No, it can't be figured out. It just has to be your biggest and wildest dream. Now, if you don't have one, get one. Get one, because it lives inside of you. And you just need to get still enough, watch enough movies so that you can be reminded, like, oh, yeah, I want that. Yeah. And the wanting isn't just about things, material. I'm not talking about that. But I'm actually talking about a lifestyle, an experience of life that you are dreaming about. So, and what you're going to do with the envisioning is you're going to experience the dream with your inner senses by imagining sounds, imagining smells, imagining tastes, and imagining feelings. Yeah, yeah. So try that out, because when we begin to put our attention on where it is we want to go, that's when the universe can bring us the support for that to happen. Yeah. Next week, I will give you some more about what helps us actually enter into a new lifetime, because sometimes, too, we get placed in it. It wasn't kind of on our radar screen, but we wake up and it's like, oh, man, something's really shifted. And I'll talk to you more about that, too, of how we can become conscious that things have shifted and embrace that change as, oh, I'm stepping into a new lifetime. Yeah. My Sarah saying for this week is, failure is impossible. It is an illusion. Nothing is a failure. Everything moves the human story. Hence, the progress of evolution forward. Everything advances you on your journey. Ashe. So I'm closing out tonight with saying great thank you to my wonderful engineer, Miss Yvette Park. And also, tomorrow is her birthday. Happy birthday, Yvette! And I just had my birthday on March the 3rd, and it was spectacular. And it wasn't like I had a party. There was nobody else around. But people reached out to me. The phone was off the hook. Text, Facebook, it was greetings. It was, I spent hours just connecting back with people quickly, or I did have a couple of really loving conversations with some family members and friends. But it was just a day of really being conscious of all the people in my life who I'm connected to and how loving they are. So it was a day of receiving love. So I wish you the same, Yvette, a day of receiving love. I also want to shout out to all my regular listeners out there and those of you who have and are wisdom walking with me, and you know who you are, to my family on both coasts, to my spiritual kin everywhere, my transformational leadership colleagues like Ms. Amanda Kemp, my medicine brothers and sisters around the world, and those who are listening or watching for the first time. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I couldn't do this without your support. Now, next week, again, I will continue new beginning with learning and letting go. Yes. The book, Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery, Ancient Wisdom for Transforming Pain, available on Amazon, Kindle, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, and even on some other foreign book sites that I've come across online. So you should still be able to get hold of it. If not, let me know and I can fix that. And then last but not least, I want to thank my God, my ancestors, my spirit guides and loving entities, everything that walks with me, keeps my head to the sky, my feet to the ground, and my heart open to do this important work with and for all of you. Now, please have a very safe and happy Water Week coming up. Remember, yes, the vaccines are starting to roll out, the Johnson one. You only have to have one shot. But, folks, we are not out of the woods. As long as there is one state, one country that lets down the guards and doesn't enforce the use and the wearing of masks, doesn't help people learn the science safety, they're in trouble. I just had some family members that went to a party thinking it would be really safe, and three of them came down with COVID. So this virus is no joke. There are variants out there. Don't let down your guard. Practice science safety, not perceived safety. This virus is tricky. They're still learning about it. We don't really know all and everything, so let's not act like we've won yet. We haven't. We need to continue to take things slow, but we also have to accept that, you know, there's still people not on the bandwagon, and that's unfortunate. But please, again, wash your hands, practice social distancing, wear your double mask, wear a filter in your mask, and really, really practice social solidarity, meaning consider other people and not just yourself in terms of taking risks with this virus. Yes. And so having said all that, I want to remind you that most importantly, and that's why you should be practicing science safety, you are not disposable. You are, in fact, divine. Good night now.
I hope you enjoy Convergence, and thanks again for sharing this part of your lives with us. It's been a real pleasure.